Hi, everybody. Will here with this week's interview chair. And this week on the chair, we have none other than Doug Johnson from Roshu's Bouviers and more famously, Bugaboo Old English Sheepdogs. It's a great interview, so listen to this. Hi, everybody. Will here with this week's interview chair. And this week on the chair is a dear friend, Doug Johnson, Roshu's Bouviers, Bugaboo Holding the Sheepdogs. But I met Doug when Doug was a handler. How are you, Doug? It's good to see you.
Doing absolutely wonderful, Will. It's good to see you. It's always good to see good old faces.
Good old faces. Oh, God. I used to be the young one. I'm good old faces.
Oh, wow. I know the feeling.
Yeah. So how's the weather there?
We actually have some nice weather today. It's about supposed to be up to about 45, 46 degrees. You know, we had snow and we had cold spells. This last week was about -8. And we've been having a pretty good spell of cold all the way through for the last couple, 2.5 weeks. I'm tired of it. I'm ready for some nice weather.
Yeah. And you guys are just in Portland?
We went up to Portland. I went up there with Colton and Cammy, our little granddaughter. Was very successful. We ended up winning 4 groups. We went ahead, stole 2 best in shows.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
We went ahead and we won 2 specialties, and we went ahead and we won a region, our independent specialty. Plus, we went ahead and competed for the best of the best in specialties and got a group 2 out of that, and they had guests. They had a guest judge who was Andrea Glassford. She was up
there. Oh, Andrea. Wow. Yeah.
She went ahead.
She should be judging, so.
Yeah, which is good to see her. You know, Brian Martin went ahead and brought her in, and we were trying to guess who the judge was going to be. He wouldn't tell us all the way through. He just kept kind of like taking the $5 bets and seeing who could guess who the judge was. Of course, nobody did, but he knew, me and Brian. But we had a good time. It was a great trip.
It's great. I didn't know she was out there. That's great.
Yeah. Well, they brought her in.
Yeah. Every once in a while, we mention stuff on Facebook, Andrea and I, but I haven't seen her in ages. So
she looks wonderful. Great. Yeah, great. I bet. You know, so good to see her. And of course, she always makes you think of Tommy. All the fun times you had whenever he was showing with us in the EKC rep. Yep.
Yep. I always thought when he and Fisher were together, I always called him Starsky and Hutch.
Then that would probably be a good description with them.
Anyway, let's get on with this. Tell me how you got started in our sport, Doug.
Well, it all started as far as with my wife, to be honest with you. Michael Ann and I, we both grew up as far as involved in dogs. Neither one of us really had purebred dogs. We always went ahead and had Mutskies and so forth there as we was growing up. We were married when we were 19 years old, Will. We were high school sweethearts. We met whenever we were a junior. We kind of knew each other before then. She was a little goody-goody, Miss Good Twos, and I was kind of the bad boy. So she kind of stayed away from me for a little bit. And then in our junior year, she thought maybe I wasn't so bad, and she allowed me to go ahead and take her out on a date. And the rest is history. So we got married when we were 19. One of the dogs that she absolutely loved was an old English sheepdog. And that was her dream dog, you know, from back to My 3 Sons, Don't Eat the Daisies, all those old programs. Yep. She went ahead and she said, I want an old English sheepdog. So when we got married, we were married for about 6 months, and then she got pregnant. And as we went ahead and went on being involved as far as in our relationship, we lived in an apartment that didn't allow goldfish, let alone dogs. and so forth there. But we thought we'd look for a place to rent, maybe a house that had a backyard, and get a dog. And so one day, you have to remember, this was the time I was going to college, trying to go ahead and thought I'd want to be a teacher. I wanted to be an art teacher and do a wrestling and football coaching. And she was working for Mountain Bell in the engineering department. So we went ahead and was looking for a place to stay, a house. And at that time, she went ahead and she found some homes to go look at. And she went ahead and she said, I found some homes for us to go look at. And I went ahead and said, okay. So we went to go ahead and go out the door. And she said, oh, by the way, and I was looking through the paper and I found that it says Old English Sheepdogs for sale, championship lines. I thought, oh, boy. And so as I was walking out through the door, she goes ahead and she says, well, can we go look at the dogs? And I said, sure, we'll go look at the dogs. Being a husband that you want to go ahead and satisfy your wife and a whole bit, I said, we can go look. So we went out the door, and as we're going out the door, she said, you have your checkbook. I'm kind of like, why do I need a checkbook to go look at dogs for? So we went ahead and went and looked at the house. It was not what she had in mind, but she said, we have time. Can we go by and look at the Old English Sheepdogs? Now, the owner of this bitch that they had was Mandy. They were in the Air Force. They actually obtained her from over in England when they were stationed over there. And they brought her over here to Colorado. And at that time, there was a gal by name of Louise Lapina. I don't know if you ever heard of Louise Lapina, but she's a famous dog artist. She, no. Her husband was in the Air Force out at the Air Force Academy, and she had Sonny Bray Jack Frost, which was one of the top winning Old English Sheepdogs that was being shown at the time. And they had bred that bitch to him. And so we went ahead and we took a puppy. We called him Oliver. And that was our adventure as far as into purebred dogs. And she got started as far as an actual showing with a gal by the name of Gwen Walters, who we met with the Colorado Springs Kennel Club. Now, I will confess, I was not involved as far as in the showing at this time, Will. I was a big softball player. Okay. I loved, when I got went ahead and graduated from high school, I got involved as far as into competitive fast pitch here in Colorado Springs. And I played a couple of years as far as fast pitch softball. She would go to dog shows with Gwen, and she would come back home, and I would go ahead and go to weekends as far as playing softball. It wasn't until about three dogs down the road. You know, we went, Oliver was a neat dog, but he was not a show dog. You know, everybody loved us when we came to the dog show because we'd take third or fourth place, and they always thought that we were great because we made points for them. We always got invited to the luncheons, got invited to the little social events and the whole bit. But I didn't like taking third or fourth place. I was seeing my wife take third and fourth place. So we went ahead and we bought another dog, which we thought was better quality. We drove all the way out to St. Louis to pick that dog up over the weekend. Drove all the way back so we could both be at work on Monday. That dog we called Sundance, and he ended up being dysplastic. So that was out the window. And we obtained another bitch that was a OFA certified bitch, but she had not been shown. And her name was Punky. And we went ahead and got her. We finished her shows and so forth there. Punky took a liking to me more so than she did my wife. And so I got the show Punky. And I went ahead and they had a big dog show specialty out here in Denver, Colorado. Terry Carter was the judge. They brought Terry out here to judge. And so I went ahead and my wife told me I was going to go up to that show and I was going to go ahead and show Punky since she liked me the best. And I went up there and I showed Punky, and I ended up winning the best of breed with that bitch. And I didn't know what the cat hair was doing, but evidently Terry thought she was pretty nice. And that was our introduction as far as to Terry Carter. Now, as time went on, we didn't have such good luck as far as with the Old English Sheepdogs, and it kind of got a little bit discouraged. Gwen Walters, who we went ahead and we got to know as friends, she had a couple dogs that I helped show. Pippin, which was out of Sandra Haysecker's dog.
Let me interrupt you just for a second. How did you learn to show?
Well, be honest with you, I didn't. You know, I played a lot of softball, Will, and I was pretty athletic, okay? And I didn't learn like everybody else did as far as going through apprenticing and working for somebody else. Is my talent is, like I said, I went to school to go ahead and be a teacher, an art teacher. I was a pretty good artist. And
so he had an eye as well.
I had an eye for creating things. And that's how basically I got started in handling, to be honest with you. I went ahead and I got, we had the old English sheepdogs that we went ahead and we went on with. We actually went ahead and I wanted a second breed. I tried the Afghan hounds because I thought Afghans were absolutely beautiful. I love their elegance and their demeanor and a whole bit. But the problem is with Afghans, they're not compatible with old English sheepdogs. You know, the hound and the herding dogs, are, the old English would push on the Afghans a little bit. And I got tired of being in the emergency room getting Afghans sewn up and so forth. Okay, yeah. To be honest with you. So we went ahead and we got out of the Afghans. And I was at a dog show in 1975, 76. And I ran across the Bouvier. And I saw that dog. His name was Eurus de la Boutre. He was from France. And I saw that dog. Now, a little bit of history behind me is I got Scottish, Irish. I got a little bit of Indian blood behind me. So the Bouvier was very appealing because it reminded me of a bear and a buffalo. Okay? I'm like, yeah. Okay, this guy fits my demeanor. Kind of a dog that's stoic and kind of reserved, but at the same time can be pretty tough when pushed. That being said, is we got started into the Bouviers. Now, the old English sheepdogs, you kind of put on hold. But while we were showing dogs for Gwen Walters, we took a trip back in, I think it was 1977, back up to Calgary to the specialties they had up there. And we took our old English sheepdogs up there. And that's when we met Terry Carter and, again, met Terry Carter and Edie Shields. Now, do you remember Edie Shields? Did you ever know
her? No, I don't.
Okay. Edie Shields is the one who originally started Bugaboo Old English Sheepdogs. Did you know that? She, the name was named after the Bugaboo Mountain Range up there in Canada. All right. Does that make sense now?
Yeah, for sure.
We got up there. We got them. We went to, we showed up there. We did well. We took like six dogs. I finished five championships on to the six dogs that we took. But we went ahead and we met Edie and we went to a dinner that they had that night as far as for all the old English sheepdog people. And about a year later, I was going around the corner from a dog show, and I went ahead and I saw this beautiful old English sheepdog whose name was Ricky. And I thought, God, that dog is beautiful. And I looked up, and it was Edie Shields who was showing it. Now, Edie and John, who was in real estate, moved down here to Parker, Colorado. Edie being the person that we met, I went up and talked to her, introduced ourselves, and Edie kind of took us underneath her wing. She was our mentor. Bugaboo Old English Sheepdogs was Edie Shields. She also had Bugaboo Golden Retrievers.
So, that's a great story.
Yeah, from that point on, well, it gets better here. From that point on, we became involved as far as with Edie through Old English Sheepdogs because she was our mentor. Now, we went ahead, and since I had a little bit of talent as far as showing dogs, Edie asked me if I'd be willing to go ahead and help her show Old English Sheepdogs, which I jumped right onto it and said we would. She kind of took us underneath her wing. We were kind of young kids at the time. I think we were probably like around 25, 26 years old and so forth. We were young kids. And Edie went ahead and she took us underneath her wing and started mentoring us with Old English Sheepdogs. Now, as time went on with Edie, Will, is that she developed Parkinson's disease. Okay. And we went ahead and it was a sad situation for us. She was a great gal. But as time went on, she had to go back to Canada because of the Canadian, you know, healthcare and stuff like this. And so she called us up one night. And she said, I want you kids to come up to dinner. And we went ahead and we went up to dinner and we had dinner with her and so forth there. And I knew something was going on with Edie because I could tell by the way she was shaking and stuff like this. And she became a little bit more rigid. And so on, but she was a very private person and didn't discuss things very much. And she went ahead and said she's going to have to go back to Canada and she's going to have to go ahead and deplete her kennel. And she said, I want you kids to go ahead and take the best old English sheepdog bitch that I have, and I want you to go ahead and start your own kennel. Okay. I went ahead, my wife and I, we talked about it and we told her, we said, the only way we will do this, Edie, is the fact that we go ahead and keep you involved as Bugaboo Old English Sheepdogs. I said, we do not want to go ahead and reestablish a kennel name for ourselves. We want to be part of Bugaboo, and we want you to be part of us. And so we went ahead and we selected a bitch that was Bugaboo's just for me. We call her Tangle. And Michael Ann went ahead and shouldered, did some group placing with her. Of course, that was a time that King Boots was out with Jack Funk and so forth there. And it was pretty tough to go ahead. And Brian had Dictator and so forth there. So we went ahead and was running up against some pretty tough competition. But we loved this bitch, and we went ahead and we took her. And she was a very sound bitch because Edie was very, very big on soundness. And but it was not it really was not enough bitch for what I felt we needed for the Old English Sheepdogs. So we went ahead and we were looking for a stud to breed her to, and that's when we went ahead and decided on a dog by the name of Wise Guy, Whisperwood's Wise Guy, Joyce Wetzler, and so forth there. So we took Tango back, we bred her to Wise Guy, which produced Bugaboo's Big Chill. And in all our lines from this point on, I can trace every one of our dogs, Will, back to that foundation bitch. All the dogs that we currently have at one point all go back to that foundation bitch. And it was of 2006, you know, time goes by and so forth. We went ahead and we had a couple dogs that we were doing some winning with, but I had Bugaboo's Big Puff Daddy. I don't know if you remember him or not. I went ahead and I won the national with him. I won the regional with him. I won the national with him under Shane Armstrong from Australia. And I won the regional under Pat Trotter and so forth there, which was a nice win because I've always respected that woman as far as
sure.
a dog person. But at that time, we had another young dog coming up who we called Smokin'. That was Bugaboo's Big Resolution. Now, my son, Colton, went ahead and kind of got involved as far as into a little bit of this showing. What ended up happening was, sorry about that. What ended up happening was one day we went ahead and went to the show when Colton was in high school and going into college. And I went ahead and I was showing dogs, and I went ahead and it was one of those shows where you win money. And Colton was with us, and I had won some money as far as going group one on several of the dogs and best in show. And I said, you know, we got enough money to go take everybody to dinner. And we went to do best in show dinner, and Colton went ahead and he said, you won money? And I said, yeah. And he said, I didn't know you won money. And I said, well, Colton, I said, what do you think we do with this thing? And all of a sudden, Colton's eyes opened up that not only do you win money, but you also get paid for handling dogs. At that time, I was handling between 12 to 16 dogs at a show, which isn't that many as far as today with some handlers. But for me, that was a good string to go ahead
and check. That's enough.
And stuff. So Colton went ahead and he decided maybe that's something he would like to go ahead and try doing. And so we went ahead and I got him started working underneath me to get him started as far as into his show career. And look where they're at today.
Yeah.
And so forth. But anyway, to make a long story short is Puff Daddy went ahead and won the national. Smokin' was coming along. Colton went ahead and he decided he wanted to show Smokin' instead of Puff Daddy. Dabber Jabber from over in Hungary went ahead and asked me what I'm doing with Puff Daddy. I told him, I don't know, I'll probably take him home, cut him down, use him for breeding. He said, would you consider sending him over to Europe to show? And I said, well, let me think about it. So I went ahead and I thought about it. We were going to the garden. I said, yeah, I'll do that, Dabber. I said, we're going to the garden. I'll take him there, give him a couple days rest, and we'll send him on off to you over there in Austria. So Dabber picks up the dog, and he goes in and shows him over there for a little over a year, breeds him about 10 times and produces some nice puppies. But the one thing that really is entertaining is he won that damn horse. Did you ever hear about that?
Oh, yeah, I never heard that, yeah.
That Lipizzaner Stallion. He went ahead and he won a Lipizzaner Stallion. And Dabber calls me up and he says, hey, Duck, I got some good news and I got some bad news. And, of course, this is in May, and I'm kind of like, what are you talking about, good news, bad news? I said, what's the good news? He said, well, the good news, you just won this big best in show over here in South Galway and so forth there. And I said, what's the bad news? And he said, the bad news is you won a horse. I said, I won a horse? And he goes, yeah. And I said, well, what kind of horse? Well, Dabber, he didn't really know. He said, I'll have to check with you and get back with you. So he calls me back up and he says, a Lipizzaner. And I said, okay, what is it? A stallion? A mare? Filly? What is it? He says, it's a stallion. Of course, my wife hears me on the telephone about this horse that we won. And she says, I want the horse. Now, Dabber tells me, he said, I can sell it here and send you the money or whatever and so forth there. I said, no, Devin, my wife wants the horse. He says, oh, she wants it? I'm like, yeah. That free horse cost me $15,000 to get it over here. So Colton went on to show Smokin', and everybody knows Smokin' ended up winning the group at the Yukonuba, and also as far as at the Garden, and ended up being the number one herding dog. We went ahead and competed against Jimmy Moses, which we absolutely love. Jimmy was a great competitor for us. He made us push hard, but at the same time, he was very fair with us. And couldn't say enough things good about that man.
He's a great guy, Jimmy. You learned a lot from Jim.
We do. But anyway, that's kind of like in a nutshell. We got the Bouviers. I got started with Bouviers. That was my introduction as far as into Gary McDonald. Gary, you and I both know Gary. Yvonne Savard. Yvonne and I used to do breedings together as far as with dogs. I'd go up to her place, bring some dogs back home, finish them for her. I sent Uno up to her whenever
she was. Yeah, I remember there. Uno.
Yep. Yeah,
with Susan. I thought he was a fabulous dog, So
Uno won the national specialty, and he was not a big dog, but that dog had a heart like a lion.
He was powerful on the. I can still see him on the go. How powerful he was!
Oh, he would. He just put his little head down and he just went and so forth there. But it was an opportunity for us to go ahead and see him up there and also be used for Yvonne. Gave me an opportunity to go ahead and bring some dogs down here for her, Mr. Steele. And,
Mr. Steele. I showed Mr. Steele as a youngster.
I think you did. Yes, you did. Yeah. Well, then also that was my introduction to Dougie was coming up there.
Dougie Belter?
Yeah. Yeah. Dougie, I tell you what, I used to love him. He was such a competitor. Let's put it that way. He was very competitive. Not as much as Gary McDonald. Gary was the top. So I have a good story about Gary when he was showing Bandit. I'm sitting over there watching him as he is grooming on Bandit. He's got that grand finale, Aquanet, whatever it was. And he's spraying that coat like crazy. And he's got this cigarette out of his mouth as he's spraying that coat with hairspray. And I'm thinking, God, Gary, I hope that you don't drop an ash that lights that dog up and so forth there. But you know what? That guy, he was a good dog man.
Yes, he was. I worked for Gary for a few years, and I had known him my whole life. And he was. As long as you got through some of the rough edges, he was a great guy.
Yeah. So we were up there in Calgary for some other shows, and I was showing some Bouviers. I took a bunch of Bouviers up there. And we went ahead and we went winner's dog. And Gary was sitting there on the lawn because everything was pretty casual up there. I have a cute story to tell you about those shows up there in Calgary after this. But Gary went ahead and he said, you got a bitch? And I said, yeah. He said, let me show her. And I think it's Bob Moore who was the judge and stuff. And I said, why? And he said, Bob's not going to give you both sides. He said, let me show the bitch. So I said, all right, you take the bitch in. And he took the bitch in and he won and so forth there. But my cute story is the first trip we ever made up there to Calgary, down here in USA, we're very formal. You always have to wear a sports coat and have a sports tie, tie on and the shirt and slacks and the whole bit. Well, we took off up there for those shows, I think in 1977, when we went up there to Calgary for the specialties. And I forgot my suit coats. And halfway up there through Montana, I realized I did not have them. So I called my staff back there at the kennels and I said, hey, you're going to have to go ahead and get my suit coats, put them in a box and ship them up here to me because I got to have my sports coats. So they went ahead and they went and they shipped those things, Air Express, up there to Calgary. I get up there at those shows and I'm looking around and everybody is relaxed and so forth there. They have on their polo shirts or even, Gary Carter had to show the old English sheepdogs, and he's running around the ring in his shorts and so forth there. And I'm thinking, how much did I just pay to have my sports coat shipped all the way up here just to go ahead and have a relaxed atmosphere? But it was so much fun. I mean, the Canadians I love. Tents all over the place. Everybody was so kind to us. They went ahead and invited us over for dinner, have a drink. I don't drink, but they're always like, have a beer. Fantastic people. You guys, I love you.
We love you too, Doug. The first time I met you, though, I wasn't watching movies or sheepdogs. First time I met you, you were showing the English Setter dog, Lorien's Fire Brigade. And I was taken by him. I really liked that dog. I was a young handler, and he was a handsome dog to watch.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you a story about him, Will. Is, you know, I was basically showing Bouvier's noting with sheepdogs. I had the opportunity to show a Portuguese water dog, Lancer, which had several besting shows on him. But I was just kind of getting started as far as in showing dogs and helping people out. And Bob Willis, who owned Lorien's Fire Brigade, which we call Coley, he was out with Bruce Schultz being shown out there in California. And Bob decided to move back to Colorado. Now, the interesting story behind this whole thing is in high school, I wrestled Bob Willis's son, Steve Willis. So we kind of knew each other through the wrestling event. It wasn't until later on when Bob got involved as far as in the English Setters and started coming to my handling classes that I got to actually formally meet him. But he asked me, he said, Doug, he said, I'd like to have you show Coley. And I told him, I said, Bob, I said, you know, that dog's got a tail. I don't know nothing about showing dogs with tails. I said, you know, I show old English sheepdogs and Bouviers, you know, and I don't have a tail and stuff like this. And he said, I want you to show that dog, and I want you to go ahead, and we'll teach you what you need to know. And him and his, fantastic, you know, I can't say enough about them as dog owners. You know, as a handler, you get certain people that you work with, you work for, and you go ahead and you say, man, these people are more like family than they are a client.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the way Bob and his was. And we went ahead, and I was very successful with him, did a lot of winning with him until I came up there and ran into you guys and so forth there in Canada, Richard Lake and you and Dougie and the whole bit. But I won the national with him.
I remember you winning the national with him.
Yep, won the national and won the independent specialty with him. And what was, you know, I won that out of the veteran class. And what was so interesting about that is everybody was standing up as that dog went ahead and went around going, Coley, Coley, Coley. I'll never forget that because he had been kind of the bridesmaid for several years, and we had him looking the best when he was a veteran. I think he was like 7 years old whenever I won that national with him. But he was a beautiful dog.
Yeah. He was a beautiful dog. I really liked that dog. So yeah. That was a bit of, that was ahead of his time, actually, you know. So,
he kind of was. And, you know, and there was a lot of good English Setters back then. And I met a lot of great people as far as in the English Setter Club. Those people were very kind to me and very nice. You know, as you go to, sometimes as being a handler, you go ahead and you go into somebody else's breed, they're not always as favorable with you. But those people with English Setters, they were fantastic. Today, I still have good rapport with some of them that I. Yeah. Show with.
I think if you go into a breed like that and they can tell that you want to learn, they tend to embrace you. So
they do. And I was learning. You know, there was an old saying, Pat Pirelli. I don't know if you know Pat Pirelli, an old horse trainer. He had an old saying that I always kind of went by, and it was like, when you're green, you're growing. When you're ripe, you're rotten. And I tell you what, I've always kind of kept that back in my mind. I always want to learn. I always want to learn. And be,
that's a good saying.
Don't be rotten. Yep.
So, Colton's showing dogs at this. Well, we talked about him starting up. He had some great dogs. You've had great dogs in the past.
He's had a lot of great dogs. You know,
yeah.
I'm going to tell you a little story about Colton and about Heather. Now, both of them are up for Breeders of the Year this year. As far as going in here to Westminster, I'm very proud of them. I'm proud of all of my kids. You know,
we all are. It's just great to watch.
Yeah. So. I have five children, or my wife helped me have five children. And so, you know, I had four girls and one boy. Colton was the youngest and so forth there. But, you know, I used to come back from handling, and I was carrying a dog by the name of Cash. He was a bull mastiff. And I had him in my truck, and I'd come home late at night or early in the morning and, you know, have the dogs out there into my truck. And Colton used to, if I got home in time, he went ahead and he said, Dad, can I go out and get Cash and bring him in, lay him sleep in my room? And I said, sure, that'd be fine. He belonged to a guy up in Denver. His name was Rick Donovan. He worked for the Colorado Department of Highways. But make a long story short, is Colton loved bull mastiffs. So one day, Colton decided that he's going to go ahead and get his own dog. But he didn't want an Old English sheepdog. He didn't want a Bouvier. He wanted his own breed. He wanted a bull mastiff. He said, "Dad, can you help me find the bull mastiff?" And I said, "Sure." So there's a gal here in Colorado who was breeding bull mastiffs, and she bred to a dog back in New York by name of Lumpy. Okay. Now, this dog was owned by Ed and Linda Silva, shown by Heather Silva. Okay. This bitch had 12 puppies. So we go ahead and I asked the gal, I said, "Hey, when you do an evaluation on these puppies, we'd like to go ahead and get one, if, you know, a show dog. My son's interested in showing." She said, "Well," she said, "you can have second pick," but she said, "the breeder's flying out to pick their first pick." And I said, "All right, that's no problem. You know, out of 12 puppies, you got to go ahead and come up with a couple of good puppies and so forth into a litter." So we made an appointment to go ahead and go up and see the puppies. Michael and I drove Colton up there to go ahead and see him in evaluation, and in flew the breeder along with this young gal by name of Heather Silva. And so we're evaluating puppies, and as we're evaluating puppies, we kind of see Colton and Heather kind of making eyes at each other and kind of looking not to be obvious and so forth. And of course, Michael Ann picks up on it real quick. She goes ahead and she's like, "Do you see something going on here?" And I said, "I don't know. I'm looking at puppies here. I'm trying to help evaluate puppies." Well, what ended up happening is that they selected their puppy. We selected our puppy, and there was a third puppy in there that was very nice also. And Heather said, "Would you mind talking to my father and telling him what you like and what you don't like about that third puppy," which was Ed Silva. And I said, "Sure." So I went ahead and I talked to Ed, told him what I liked. I said, "You know, Ed," I said, "this dog doesn't have quite the body and bone as what these other two, but," I said, "he is a show dog. His green collar is what he was, green collar." And Ed decided to take Kim back with him, which he went ahead and he won some regional specialties with and stuff. But in the meantime, Colton and Heather have now established a relationship. She was involved in a relationship already when she was back in New York. And somewhere along the line, that relationship dissolved and they became friends as far as talking with each other and corresponding and stuff. And one day Colton comes to me and he said, "Hey, Dad," he said, "if Heather comes out here and works during the summer, can you find a job for her at the kennels?" I said, "Sure, we'd be glad to. We'll put her in the office." So Heather came out and she worked with us for the summer while she was going to school and so forth. And the relationship kind of flourished from that. And then one thing went to the other thing and to the other thing. And next thing we have a marriage in Westbury, Long Island, New York. And that was the introduction as far as to my son and my lovely daughter-in-law, who is now Heather Johnson. And they went ahead and they started handling dogs. Now, Colton was handling dogs a little bit before that. He was trying to establish himself as a handler because I made a decision, you know, as a handler, Will, I'm a family man, all right? I have 5 children. My family means most to me than anything. And I was on the road during the times that my kids, my daughters, were growing up in high school that were going to dances. You know, they were cheerleaders and stuff, and they were going to dances with these guys. And I'm taking off on Thursday and coming home Sunday night, and I'm missing who they're dating, except for whenever I meet them during the week. And so forth there. And I felt I was missing part that I should be sticking around with. And I had a real hard time trying to give up handling because every time those premium lists came across, you'd look at those things. They're kind of like a drug. They're kind of addicting.
There's no question.
You'd open that up. You go, "Oh, it's so-and-so, so-and-so doing the group, doing the best in show. You know, this looks pretty good. I need to go to those shows." And I was at a dog show, and my wife and I were talking about it. You know, we had the one kennel, and we had the opportunity to buy another kennel, and we went ahead and we bought that. And my wife said, "Why don't you give up handling?" And I said, "Yeah, I need to think about that." And what's ironic about it is during those dog show period of time, there was a gal by name of Linda Jordan. You remember Linda Jordan that had Loyal Blue? Old English sheepdogs.
Sounds familiar.
Hugh Jordan was her husband. They ran Rio Hondo Kennel Club in California. Linda ran Handicap Dan for years whenever the hernia and working group were together, and she was the top working dog. And she was tough to beat. I used to, you know, when I first got started in Old English Sheepdogs, I had a show against her, and she was not only a talented person, but a very wise woman. And she was out here at a dog show. She brought one of her dogs out here, and we were showing against each other. And she was set up with us, and I was talking to her. My wife was talking to her, you know, saying Doug's having a hard time, you know, as far as giving up handling and stuff like this. And you know what Linda told me? She said, Doug, you can always buy another good dog. You can always breed another good dog. But she said, you got one shot at your family. And that was it for me. That was enough to convince me that I need to go ahead and concentrate more on my family. And I went ahead and I gave up handling. I did local shows, but I quit traveling. And I went ahead and I stayed home and worked at the two kennels that that we had. What's funny about this whole thing is, you know, I used to go to the dog shows and I'd listen to all the other handlers. You know, I was back with Kenny Rensick and, you know, Connie and Buddy and all those guys that I always beat up and down. Bobby Peebles, you know, Carl Saunders, all those good old names and stuff. I'd go to the dog shows and everybody was talking about, boy, I sure wish I had a kennel that I could rely upon instead of doing dog shows. And I'm thinking, I'm coming to dog shows to get away from the kennels and so forth there, okay? So it's kind of a catch-22. You want to be here, you want to do this. But I went ahead and, you know, you asked me about handling and stuff, Will. Is the way I learned to handle is I watched a lot of those old-time handlers. I remember as far as, like, we had Bichons when we were early in our age when we first came popular. And my wife made me go watch Joe Waterman. She said, no, for sure. go over there and stand over there and watch Joe Waterman, how he grooms. So I'm kind of hiding behind the tents watching Joe Waterman, how he grooms Bichons, okay? And then I went ahead and I'm with Old English Sheepdogs, Woody Nelson. Woody Nelson's at dog shows. I'm kind of standing over there watching how Woody goes ahead and grooms Old English Sheepdogs. Because visually, being an artist, if I could see what they were doing, I could create that picture I wanted to go ahead and have. And so forth. But I learned a lot by watching people. Carl Saunders, I think, was probably the one that I admire the most because that man's hands were so smooth and elegant when he was showing the Afghans, Aries, and so forth there as far as watching those guys show. So there's a lot of great, great handlers in the past that I went ahead and I completely admire to help me into what I have developed into today. Even yourself, Will, whether you know it or not, when I'd come up there when I first met you, when you were showing the Irish Setters and so forth there, and I think you had a Bouvier that you were showing for, was it Jean? Is that what?
Jane Gaines.
Jane, yes. And we came up there and stuff, you know. I've watched you guys who are successful because that's the only way I've become successful is through you.
That's amazing. We all have those mentors that we have that the mentor doesn't know that they're our mentor.
No. So, and you don't really know how important you are. You know, I was about there in Portland this last weekend. I had a gentleman come up to me and he said, you know, Doug, he said, I just wanted to thank you. And I said, for what? He said, whenever I first started, as far as in dogs, he had a wire-haired dachshund. He said, I was down there in New Mexico shows in Albuquerque, and he said, you were the one that was the most nicest man to me, and so forth there. And I had no idea that I even had that type of impact onto him. He went ahead and he said, I can't thank you enough. And now he's going into judging. And so forth there. But it's nice to hear those stories because...
It is. But even as a youngster, when I first met you, you were so approachable. You know, you were never... Like, you did really well at everything you did, but you were such an approachable guy that it was easy to get to know you. So,
well, I try to be honest with you. I try to help people. You know, I was fortunate enough to go ahead and judge this year at our national specialty with our Bouviers. And so forth there. And it was quite an honor to go ahead and do that. And afterwards, you know, I had some people that I saw that needed some help. And I went ahead and I said, hey, do you mind if I kind of make some suggestions for you? And made some suggestions on the grooming. And now this guy's one of the top owner handlers going out there with his Bouvier and stuff. And so, you changed
Bouvier grooming for me. Like, I remember Gary did great, you know, for his time and whatnot. And we had Elaine Piquette here. But then I saw your dogs and thought, you want to be able to trim like that. So, well, I don't think I ever got that good, but I tried. So.
You did. Well, you did good with both the Bouviers and the Old English Sheepdog. So last time I saw you showing an Old English Sheepdog, you'd master that pretty well.
I love the sheepdogs. I really did love showing the sheepdogs. So
yeah. Well, you sat there and talked about Louise and Elaine and so forth there. You know, those are some of my dearest friends from up there in Canada. Very, very competitive gals. And you know, I met them from years back.
Understatement, competitive. So Elaine, man. Oh,
boy, you know, and here's the deal. Every one of those damn dogs, it's like she bottle feeds them and so forth there, because they are just like right focused on her all the time.
They sure are.
Yeah. Great, great gals and so on. You know, I've been very fortunate to go ahead and have a lot of good people as far as into my breeds that that have been successful, that we've done interchange breedings with. You know, some of Elaine's dogs go ahead and go back to my Casper dog and so forth there. And, you know, it's just the network as far as working with great breeders has made us successful. I always tell people, as far as like they go ahead and they say, how come Bugaboo is this and Bugaboo is that? Bugaboo would not be Bugaboo without those people who went ahead and came before me.
Right.
You know, those are the ones who developed dogs that Bugaboo can go ahead and say, that's a Bugaboo dog and stuff. People like Edie Shields, Terry Carter, Joyce Wetzler, you know, I can name list and list goes on and on and on. And these are people who have been successful in their own way with what they have. So, yeah.
You've done all this, and your family has done everything as well. What's next? Do you have anything else left?
Well, you know, I'm proud of what my kids are doing, and my grandkids. I'm fortunate to have a 3-generation. Recently, I'm an AKC delegate as far as for our kennel club. I'm involved as far as in our parent club, as far as with the AKC delegates. I'm involved as far as in the juniors program. I'm very active as far as in the juniors program. I believe that the juniors are our future. If we do not go ahead and help promote these kids, support these kids, educate these kids, help these kids, we don't have a future. You know, it's like I stand up as far as in my meetings, Will, and I go ahead and I tell the membership is that these children are our future. They are the future judge. They're the future breeder. They're the future handler. They even may be the future board member as far as for AKC. And I see how successful they are. Again, you've watched them. You've had someone work for you. Those kids are tough. They're very, very good. If I could get more people involved as far as in supporting these juniors. Here in Colorado, we go ahead and we compete. We have what we call the best of the best. And they're usually about 12 to 15 juniors that we have each year. Compete, and they compete for scholarships and stuff. My granddaughter has been very fortunate where she's obtained scholarships to go ahead and go for college. Not to mention she academically, she's pretty smart, which she did not get from me.
I think it had something to do with it, Doug.
yeah. Thank goodness they have mothers. But she's able to go ahead and get a academic scholarship. You know, I'm very supportive as far as with my grandkids and all different aspects. I've got grandkids that are involved as far as in barrel racing, roping. So I kind of got my kids involved in dogs. I got my grandkids involved as far as into rodeo stuff and all. So we have quite a diversity and stuff. And my whole thing is supporting my family and my grandkids. That's what I want to do. Judging makes it real tough. I thought about judging at one time, Will, but, you know, as far as with the traveling, with some of the issues my wife has, it makes it kind of tough. And so I have decided that I'm a breeder, and that's where my expertise is, and that's where I will go ahead and I will stay.
And you'll get to judge the odd national, especially as that breeder, so.
Well, I did it once. I'd like to do it one time as far as for my Old English Sheepdog, but I can't do it as long as my son keeps producing these nice Old English Sheepdogs.
Getting in the way.
He's like, you're not judging this year. I got this dog. I think it's absolutely beautiful, Dad. I want to go ahead and I want to show him. And we do. Graham is, we talk about breeding. Most of our breeding is done as far as through line breeding. We go ahead and we outcross whenever we need to bring something in. But even whenever you do outcrossing, you still go ahead and you run into issues and problems. So you got to be selective and what I say, pick your poison as to what you want to bring in and what you don't. But we've been very successful, as far as with some of our dogs. Our bitches are nice bitches too, but I always believe the bitches belong into the whelping box. The dogs, we breed and we hold on to them. If they turn out, that's great. If they don't, then we go ahead and we find homes for them and somebody else to love them. I know that sounds a little bit sharp and so forth there, but as a breeder, I can't keep everything that I breed.
Right. That's understandable.
Let somebody else love the rest is what I do. Breed the best and let somebody else love the rest.
It makes perfect sense.
Yep.
What a great interview, Doug. That was fabulous.
Well, I haven't shut up at all, Will.
Oh, perfect.
I'm glad I get the opportunity to go ahead and sit and talk to you. I don't know what information I can share with people, but, I like you said, my life is kind of an open book. I try to help people whenever people talk to me about things. I'm not an expert by no means, but, I go ahead and I look at people like the other Doug Johnson, Dougie, that's been very successful as far as in his breeding program, Bill Shelton, as far as in his, Jimmy Moses. I mean, these are all great dog people that have been very successful into their own right in their own breeds. And yep. I admire those people. I mean, when I go in, and you know this as far as well as I do, whenever I walk into a Best in Show ring, I look and I see what the competition's like. And whenever I walk out of that show ring, and if I'm the Best in Show winner and I've got those type of people in my ring that I'm competing against, I'm happy.
Well, for sure.
Win or lose, I'm happy. And I can be just as happy for them because being a breeder, being on top, I can go ahead and appreciate what they're doing. And one other thing I didn't mention too is, all this success that we've had has not always been because of Doug and Michael Ann Johnson. When we went ahead and we were showing Swagger, we had Ron and Debbie Scott to go ahead and support us and support the activities of that dog and being shown. And with Elsa, we had Mylon Limp. And these are great dog people that invest as far as into our dog sport and the purebred dogs in our community and so forth. And we would not be able to have any of this without those people who have gone ahead and believed in us and backed us. And I appreciate them.
Well, you've all left your mark, that's for sure. Well,
yeah, we've been fortunate. We've been very fortunate.
Well, thank you for your time, Doug. I really appreciate it. And I hope to see you somewhere.
I'll see you.
Going to be in New York this year?
I'm going to New York. Their kids are dragging me along. And so good. There. So I'll go ahead and I'll be there, Will. And I look forward to go ahead and get my big Will hug, okay?
It'll be great to see you, Doug. All right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Doug. That was fabulous. And I knew it would be. You don't think you're a good interview. That was a fabulous interview. Now, if you like what you see here, make sure you press the like, share, and subscribe button. And don't forget about all the other podcasts. We have the Dog Show Drive, and we have the Coach's Corner. Like them all. Talk to you soon.